Our good friend David Matlau is with us live via telephone. He has the world's largest Herzl collection. He never ceases to amaze us with what he knows about modern Jewish history, and specifically the history of the Zionist movement and the State of Israel. He has become a great friend over the years, and I encourage everybody out there to utilize his incredible knowledge base to your advantage. There is an exhibit that's going to be opening up in Manhattan in September next month. David's in charge of it. We'll discuss it in a moment. Groups, schools, organizations, everyone should try to go and see it. You'll become only more educated, that I could tell you, about modern Jewish history in the State of Israel. And there are a couple of prominent anniversaries that David has brought to our attention, hence his appearance this morning here at JM in the AM. David Matlau, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Thank you so much, Nachum. Good morning.
So, for those who think that there was only one or two Zionist congresses, the reality is that there were many more than that. What could you tell us on this topic, David?
There were actually 22 Zionist congresses before Israel's independence in 1948.
Wow.
And the congresses continue. The 39th Congress will be in the next couple of years. Prior to 1948, the congresses moved around Europe. They never came to America. And since the creation of the state in 1948, all Zionist congresses have been in Yerushalayim. Today, as it happens, apropos anniversary, is the 125th anniversary of the third Zionist Congress, which took place in Basel in 1899.
And Herzl was there, for those who, and you were the one who made me aware of this, of all the congresses you just mentioned, he was at the first six Zionist congresses.
That's correct. He passed away, sadly and prematurely, in 1904, when he was only 44 years old. And the sixth Congress was in 1903. So he was at the first six. And his effort and his energy and his memory carried the movement through to Israel's creation 44 years after he passed away.
And I've told you on a personal note why this is such important history to me and my family. My father proudly reminded us that he was the youngest delegate to the last pre-state Zionist Congress that took place. When we discuss his life, we never leave out the fact that he had a lot from this side of the world, a lot to do with the creation of the State of Israel. Now, what is it about the third? The third Zionist Congress, and again, as you said, it's the 125th anniversary. Was there a significant agenda, a significant episode? Was it among the more run-of-the-mill Zionist Congresses, or was it a very important Zionist Congress?
Well, people, it's a great question. People know the first Zionist Congress, and they know the picture of Herzl on the balcony in Basel, which was from the fifth Zionist Congress.
Right.
It was all a process of building, continuous building of the infrastructure and putting flesh to the bones of Herzl's idea of a Jewish homeland. So the third Zionist Congress dealt with a number of important issues, which included the Jewish Colonial Trust. This was a bank that Herzl envisioned that was discussed at the second Zionist Congress in 1898. And by the time we got to the next Congress, it had been established. So there was a discussion of what its role should be. It was like a merchant bank or a VC, a venture capital kind of organization that took deposits and used it to build Eretz Yisrael. There was also a discussion about Herzl's meeting with the Kaiser, which took place in October, November 1898. And that was just such a momentous occasion where Herzl, as a representative of the Jewish people and the visionary of a Jewish homeland, actually met with someone important, the German Kaiser, on his visit to Eretz Israel, and that was a cause of great excitement at the Congress. And there were also more important, but more, I wouldn't say mundane issues, but about the culture of the Jewish homeland, political Zionism, which is what Herzl conceived, which was a charter from the Ottoman Empire, versus tactical Zionism, which was just a dunam by dunam, buy some land, create a farm, more Jews come in, and bit by bit. So all these major conceptual issues were discussed, and it's important for people to know and remember the nature of the discussion, because we're at a time where our detractors are defining Zionism for the world, and it's important to remember the nature of the discussions and what Zionism really is and was, and not be deceived by the malicious definitions by Israel's detractors. These are kind of bread and butter Zionist issues that were discussed at that Congress.
What an important point you're making. And, you know, we have to point out, and again, we're so spoiled because we have the State of Israel. The majority of people listening right now have never known a world without a State of Israel. And we have to consider what Jews who were desperate to be connected to the Holy Land went through, the innovative ideas, as you just described, both symbolic and practical ways to connect to the land and to the and eventually to the state, to work politically for a state. We don't realize the struggle that had been going on for centuries and how it starts to culminate with the Zionist Congresses, with the movements, and with the world's attention to it, something that we never enjoyed in prior centuries. And it's such an important thing to consider. And of course, coming off of Tisha B'Av, how important it is to remind everybody that just like today, so many of us view the State of Israel as such an important part of our religious existence, both for the present and the future, and what it means in terms of the eventual redemption, etc. And these are people, both religious and non-religious, gathering at that Congress 125 years ago, who got that. They may not have been, not all of them may have been ritually observant, but they all understood how critical the State of Israel would be to the religious, cultural, and political life of the Jewish people. And when you think about it, David, a room full, a conference of people with that type of vision, with that type of attitude, with that type of hope, is just remarkable. And it's just an incredible gathering to commemorate.
Absolutely. And Herzl opened the Congress with very moving remarks, which are equally relevant today. And I put them up on my website, herzlcollection.com. And for each 125th anniversary of a Congress, I put up a photo gallery, and I'm committed to do that until the year 2071, when I'm 111 years old, where I will get to the Congress where your dad was at. But Herzl opened the Congress by saying that a people is contending here for its existence, its honor, and its freedom. And I dare say this is what's going on now. Herzl said we want to emerge from darkness into sunshine. And we have three choices, essentially. One is to just give up. The next is to revolt against whatever country we're in. And the third is the Zionist way, which is to soar upwards to a higher degree of civilization, to promote the general welfare, to prepare new paths for intercourse among the nations, and to seek an awakening for social justice. The third way is the way of Zionism, and the third way is the way that the State of Israel, in my humble view, should pursue as well, to get back to what Zionism was intended to be by its visionaries, to position the State of Israel for the glorious future that it deserves, that seems pretty murky and difficult on this particular day.
Yeah, I mean, the words that you just read from Herzl are so vital, and for those who wonder whether it's an exaggeration that this war that's taking place right now is in fact an existential war for Israel and the Jewish people, read those words, folks, and you'll understand why, in fact, this is such a serious time. Not that every time isn't serious in the development of the State of Israel and its growth, but now especially with the enemy plunging us, at least what they thought, was into darkness, when in fact We know that we are both experiencing and will eventually have complete light in this situation. David Matlau is with us live via telephone. So you mentioned to me off the air that it is 75 years right after the state was founded, since Herzl's remains were reburied in Jerusalem. We, of course, are very familiar with Har Herzl, Mount Herzl. Unfortunately, there's a little too much activity there these days. I've described my visits there on the air over the last 10 months. What were the circumstances? Did Herzl leave a will at the age of 44 that demanded, suggested, pleaded for a reburial in what eventually would be the state of Israel? How did he even, I mean, you and I have discussed this before, how he even envisioned at that time that there would actually be a state decades later?
It's a great question. Yes, he left a will, and in his will, he asked that he be buried in a metal casket. And you and your listeners will know that our halakha does not allow burial in a metal casket. Right. But he explained he wants to be in a metal, buried in a metal casket, because when the Jewish state that he envisioned comes to be, he would like to be reburied there. Right. And one of the very first acts of the Knesset, the Israeli government, after the state's creation, was to start the process to fulfill Herzl's wish. Now, of course, in 1948, there was a war of independence to fight. There were displaced persons coming in. There were from Europe, from the Arab nation, from the Arab lands, and so they got around to it about a year later, in August of 1949. And so he was initially buried in Vienna, and on August 16th, 1949. Tomorrow. He was correct. His remains were taken out of his burial spot. His gravestone still exists in the cemetery in Vienna. And wouldn't you know that my wife and I went there on a visit? And he was then flown to the state of Israel. His airplane flew over Mount Carmel, Haifa, because that's the place he envisioned or described in his book, Alt Neuland, Old New Land, which he wrote in 1902, landed at the airport outside of Tel Aviv. He lay in state by the water where the opera house condominium is now. And on the 17th, he was taken to Jerusalem. He lay in state in front of the Jewish Agency building. They say that 250,000 people went past his casket out of respect. And then on that 17th, so 75 years ago on Shabbat, but it wasn't Shabbat then, of course, he was reburied on what is now Mount Herzl. And people who described that scene, said it was not so much as a reburial, but a coronation. The visionary had returned and presides over the newly created state on Mount Herzl. And symbolically, the planners of this very moving ceremony asked for a representative from each of the 300 communities that were in Israel at that time to take a bag of dirt or sand from their community, and they came, and that's what was placed above his casket.
Wow.
Once he was lowered into the ground.
Wow, that's amazing. Boy, oh boy. David Matlau is with us. The exhibit that we alluded to starts on the 17th of September in New York City at the Stryker Cultural Center on East 65th Street. David, what are we calling the exhibit?
Well, it is all about Herzl, and there are 250 items from my collection have been transported to New York to be at the Stryker Center, and includes many of my best pieces, and some of which actually originated in New York and are making a round trip. I have a large bust, maybe 2 feet tall, of Herzl that was once in the East Side Torah Center.
Huh?
And other items. I have a glass inlay portrait, which was once the synagogue in Brooklyn, and I'm hoping someone can recognize what synagogue it was when they see it. It's going to run until January, and there is all kinds of programming about Herzl that the Stryker Center has organized for the run of the exhibit. And it's an important time, similar to the initiative about the Congress, for people to understand what Zionism is as envisioned by its founders and its early advocates at a time where people just don't know what the purpose of Zionism was, the national liberation movement of the Jewish people to return to our ancestral homeland. It's as simple as that. But people have lost the train on what it is, and I'm really thrilled with the opportunity to present this exhibit in New York. Of course, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. And I'm really thrilled for this. And many groups have reached out. It's the Bernard Museum as part of the Stryker Center to organize private tours, meetings connected with the exhibit, and it's going to run for 4 months.
All right, and we're going to include the link to both the exhibit and to the Third Zionist Congress material in the news item about this conversation. So anybody out there who has the internet, go to NahumSiegel.com. You'll click later on today on the archive, both the archive and the news story about this conversation with David Matlau, and you'll have both the link to the exhibit, which begins mid-September, and the link to the information and materials regarding the Third Zionist Congress. We are celebrating the 125th anniversary of the Third Zionist Congress. David, one more thing I wanted to add. You have what I feel is an incredible resource. You know how I feel about this. I've told you. An incredible resource for students in both, I would say of any age, but certainly elementary and high schools. It's called 75 Treasures, Celebrating Israel at 75. Obviously, you produced this last year. And it's just through these items, a lot of fun items to look at, a lot of serious items to look at. Through these, people could learn, especially young people, could learn so much about the development of the state of Israel. I just wanted to give a plug for this because I believe your offer of working with schools to help produce this is still out there, right? If schools want to go ahead and hand this out as a resource in their Jewish history class, in their Zionism courses, in the Yom HaTzmaut program, if they want to hand this out, all they have to do is be in touch with you, and you're more than happy to work with them to get this done, correct?
Absolutely. And the book itself is in PDF form for free download. Is on my website, herzlcollection.com, as I said. And that's every Sunday, there is a new treasure that I create. It goes on the website of the Canadian Jewish News, the cjn.ca. So I have done about 175 of them so far. And together, these items tell Israel's history. And so, yes, that was done for Israel's 75th birthday, but there's been another, I would say, 70 right since then, and a new one comes out every Sunday.
I mean, teachers, I hope you're listening. Principals, I hope you're listening. That website and that PDF can be so valuable in really exciting the students about what's happened over the last 76-plus years in the Zionist movement and the creation of the State of Israel. And David Matlau is responsible for it. Okay, the exhibit starts the 17th of September. Information in our news story about this conversation, both in our archives and in the news story later on today at NahumSiegel.com. It's at the Stryker Center, East 65th Street in New York City. And again, just contact us, folks, if you have a specific question or want information that David can answer regarding the nuts and bolts of that exhibit. Just forward it to us, Nahum@NahumSiegel.com. We'll certainly do everything in our power to help move along the process and help anybody who wants to put together a group or wants to put together some type of special presentation that surrounds this incredible Herzl exhibit. David Matlau, I thank you. Thanks for keeping all this alive. It's amazing what you've done. The collection is incredible, absolutely incredible. You know, it baffles me every time how you've done all this. And sharing all of it with us, both in visual and audio form, is much appreciated. So, toda rabba, my friend.
Thank you very much, and I join you in wishing for peace in these nervous days and the safe and quick return of the hostages.
Amen. Thank you so much. JM in the AM, Thursday morning broadcast, day number 314 that our brothers and sisters have been held in captivity by the brutal enemy.